Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Big show coming up today on Wednesday, November 15th. Adam, Jamie, and Heath here on Fantasy Football Today. Buy low and sell high. Previewing the Thursday night game, Tennessee at Pittsburgh. Updating you on the injuries. Heath's got some tight end research. Jamie has a surprise for us. We're going to play a game, and we're going to talk playoff schedules. If you've got a quarterback with tough playoff matchups, who should you pick up right now to cover yourself? And I'm going to ask you guys a question. Every single freaking week, Thursday, Sunday, Monday night, I get myself excited for the games, and they're almost always duds. So I'm getting myself excited for Tennessee-Pittsburgh. Will we see a good football game on Thursday night?
We've seen several good ones on Thursday night.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
No, they've been but all the primetime games lately have been, I mean, last week was just awful.
Well, that's because the Dolphins have been on three
straight primetime
games.
I guess my question is, does it have to be high scoring for it to be good football?
No, I just
want
to close
game. I think this will be a very competitive game.
All right, that's what
these
I want.
These are finally two good teams.
I'm not sure it will be a high scoring game.
That's fine. I'm cool with that.
All right, you ready for first part of the surprise?
Oh, already?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. It was the night before Christmas, and up in the tower, everyone was partying except one wallflower. John McClane missed his wife. Things just weren't the same.
Oh, I know what this is.
Holly had moved west and changed her last name.
Yeah, right. I know. Okay, this is the Christmas, the Die Hard Christmas book.
Yes. So we got it sent to us from Bradford Pake, I believe is his name. Brad, I'm assuming Bill Bradford, was kind enough to send us the book, and he said, "Sending this to you, who would appreciate it more than Adam.
Yeah.
Hope it keeps the debate alive."
It's...
It is such an excellent, excellent, excellent story.
Absolutely.
And in full detail, by the way, of the movie. Not for children.
Oh,
well,
no?
I'm yes, this is going home with me one night, and I'm sharing it with my children. Only two of them. I have two teenagers.
But it is a great description of a great Christmas story. Die Hard Christmas.
I mean, it's pretty cool that they made a Christmas book out of it. It's good marketing. My stance is just that it doesn't really have anything to do with Christmas. Christmas is just sort of a thing in the movie. It's not a Christmas movie. It's not we don't have to get into
it. I'll just read one more line here. It's at the end. Bear bonds fluttered like fresh fallen snow as Holly embraced her blood spattered bow. So Merry Christmas to all. Be kind to one another. And most of all, yippee-ki-yay, mother.
Wow. That's the end of the book?
That's the end of the Christmas book.
That is freaking awesome. What a Christmas book. Wow.
He said it. Oh, he said it.
Yes.
No, it's a Christmas book. I'll give it that, but it's not a Christmas movie.
Wait, what?
No, you know what? I look forward to having this debate later on this holiday season. I can't believe Thanksgiving.
It's holiday season, buddy.
It is holiday season. Thanksgiving coming up next week. And this is the last week of bye weeks, by the way. And I forgot about somebody on waivers yesterday, so let's talk about him right now. I don't know why I forgot this guy. I'm not sure if I accidentally deleted him from the notes. I made a big mistake, and I apologize. We did not talk about Austin Eckler. Well, luckily, we talked about him on Sunday a little bit, but 24% owned now, so that's obviously way up. He had 10 carries. He had 5 catches. He had more than 100 total yards and 2 touchdowns at Jacksonville for the Chargers in Week 10. Did you guys claim Austin Eckler? Do you think everybody should? Like, what do you think?
I don't think everyone should. I made more waiver claims yesterday than I have any week this season. And it wasn't because I was particularly excited about the options out there. I had some buy problems, and there were a lot of players. So he was behind Jamal Williams, behind Samaje Perine, behind the New England running backs. But I did end up claiming him in one league. I'm going to have to start him in one league, and I think if you wanted to make a case for Austin Eckler as a good person to have and to stash, we've never seen Melvin Gordon play in week 16 or 17, right?
That's a good point.
He's played 2 years, and he's missed the last two or three games of the year, both years.
Wow, so Mr. Anti-Handcuff is handcuffing somebody.
I'm going to have to add Austin Eckler to the stash rankings that will come out today. And he's probably a good one.
Okay. Do you think he's going to get more than five touches?
Well, he got 15 last week.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, it was completely unexpected.
I would guess that I think he's going to get more. I don't think he gets 15 touches again, unless Melvin gets hurt, but I would expect he averages 10. They talked about at the beginning of the year how they didn't want to work Melvin Gordon like they did the year before, and we kind of laughed about it because they didn't have anybody else to use. They found somebody else to use.
Okay. Is he more of a passing downs guy? Is he more of a PPR guy, Austin Eckler?
I think he's more of what does Pete call them?
Airback.
He's an airback.
Okay. All right.
I think, look, this is going to be a telling week for how good a fantasy option he could be because it's a dream matchup. They haven't stopped anybody since they traded Marcell Dareus to the Bills. And so if he does get some shared work and does well with it, then you'll be excited about him more so, I think, than just what I would probably look at more as a fluky game last week than what is expected.
But their playoff schedule, Washington, Kansas City, New York Jets, if something were to happen to Gordon, that's pretty fantastic.
Give me some buy lows, or just one of each. Favorite buy low, favorite sell, or however many you want. Favorite buy low, favorite sell high. Jamie, why don't you start with a buy low candidate?
Julio Jones. I mean, look, you can't get any worse than what he's been, given what the pedigree and the expectations were. And so I don't think this matchup is as tough as it clearly was prior to last week when Richard Sherman was healthy. And so I think Matt Ryan will play well. I think Julio Jones will have a good enough game. And then I believe next week is Tampa Bay. Not the easiest matchups after that, but you're still hoping that Julio becomes Julio as they try to make a playoff push in terms of the Falcons. So if you can get him cheap, do it.
Heath.
I'll go high end as well, and I will say you've still got a little bit of time left to buy low on Kareem Hunt. I think it was easier before last week when somebody had him on a bye, but still, whoever owns him hasn't seen him score a touchdown for almost 2 months. And he's my number one running back this week, so I expect him to have a monster game.
Wow. All right. Kareem Hunt at the Giants. I feel so bad for a buddy of mine who has to go to that game. Like, wow, why? I mean, that's cool to see the Chiefs, I guess, but cold weather, that team, ugh. Favorite sell high candidates. Heath, you want to kick it off? Favorite sell high.
I won't use Jamie's because I know who that is. So I'm trying to find a running back, and I think I would be interested in selling high on Ameer Abdullah.
Oh, okay. All right. Couple good games in a row.
Couple good games in a row. I'm still not sure that I totally buy Ameer Abdullah, feature back. Yeah. So if I could get some type of good value for him, now I'm not just giving up for nothing.
I mean, look, good games are relative. He's got 48 and 52 yards rushing in those two games. He's just scored.
Right.
And he only had 11 carries against Cleveland, which is interesting coming off 21 carries but two fumbles at Green Bay. So they did trail in that game for a while, though. I don't know. Yeah, no, I feel it. I'd see what I could get from Abdullah. Jamie, how about you? Who's the guy that Heath wouldn't steal from you as a sell high?
I'm going to guess it's Robert Woods.
Yep.
Hashtag any Rams, yes. Not named Todd Gurley. look, we talked about this for a while now. You know, just a tough schedule moving forward. So I think if you can get something great in return for Woods, that's probably the – Woods and Watkins are the most logical sell high guys. I think Goff can still be good enough. I'm not really running away from him this week as a must sit guy. And, you know, I don't know if he's a slam dunk top 10 guy.
At Minnesota this week.
Yeah, it's a tough matchup, but I think you just look at the receivers. Robert Woods has never been what he's been the last 2 weeks. He wasn't even like that to start the season. And so while they need him because Sammy Watkins may or may not ever turn into a true featured number one type of guy, and while Cooper Kupp kind of is who he is, I just don't see him ever being this productive again the rest of the season. And I could be wrong, but I just don't expect it.
And I've got one more sell high.
Okay.
But you're going to have to do it in the next 5 minutes before everyone else sees the news.
Oh, what happened?
Any Bills, wide receivers, tight ends, or anything else related to the Bills?
Oh, no.
You think it'll be that bad?
I don't think he is good, and I think Tyrod Taylor is good.
Yep.
And so I would rather just get rid of them.
The Bills have benched Tyrod Taylor for Nathan Peterman.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Well, Remember tank mode? They're in tank mode.
Like, this is a team that was 6-2?
Oh my goodness. I cannot believe that.
Traded Marcell Dareus?
I said that it's so funny that I felt like on the fantasy podcast, we always felt like Tyrod. I feel like national football fans think Tyrod Taylor is better than Bills fans do. The Bills fans never, ever seem to buy into Tyrod Taylor. There must be something to that. They know Tyrod Taylor better than we do. And I guess I shouldn't be that surprised, but I just, wow, I mean, I didn't see that coming. And that sucks, because last week we talked about Kelvin Benjamin having, like, arguably the best wide receiver matchups down the stretch of any wide receiver, or, you know, yeah, basically
he
anyone.
He can still be good. Look,
maybe Peterman will be good. Maybe
we don't know. And you know the type of receiver that Benjamin is. It's not like you have to have pinpoint accuracy to him for him to be successful. So.
Oh boy. Wow. That's, how about that?
Shade.
Okay. So, you know, I have, a segment that included Robert Woods. It's called Number Two Looks Like Number One, where these number two wide receivers are playing like number ones. And
it's good you're talking fantasy.
What's that?
Good you're talking about fantasy football.
I know. Yeah, but it's a play on words. I will get to that a little bit later. Let's do the news and notes. In case you haven't heard, Tyrod Taylor has been benched, so that's weird. But Devontae Freeman not expected to play this week. CJ Procise is on IR. Rob Kelly is on IR. Greg Olsen is expected back next week, and he's only 71% owned. They have a bye this week, then they're at the Jets in week 12, and Olsen should be back for that one. Curtis Samuel out for the season. Good news for Greg Olsen, I guess. Jay Ajayi set for more work this week. You're ranking him ahead of LeGarrette Blount, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I'm the low guy on Jay Ajayi, and I've got him like 15 spots ahead of LeGarrette Blount. There is a lot of Jay Ajayi love going out of this week.
Oh.
Yeah, no Sean Lee. That's the biggest reason for me.
Are you gonna go?
I liked him before the Sean Lee injury, but I just think that, you know, without Lee in there, you've seen the two-game sample size that he missed already this season. You know, you go back just the course of history with him, but Todd Gurley ripped him up. Aaron Jones beat them up.
Yep.
I mean, LeGarrette Blount could still have a good game here, too.
It is a big deal. And what about DeMarco Murray or Jay Ajayi? Because we're going to preview that Thursday night game.
Oh, I Jay Ajayi for me, easy.
Where do you have Jay Ajayi right now?
Seven.
Seven?
Wow.
Yeah.
Sean Lee's absence is just tremendous.
Yeah, my only question is, does he, if it's, there's not a lot of guys we rank as top 10 running backs that we expect to get 12 to 15 carries.
Well, I mean, there's also the narrative coming out of Philadelphia that he's going to get potentially a lot of work.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I would go to DeMarco.
If you were to say 18 carries?
Oh, I'd take Ajayi, I guess, in that case.
Yes.
But I don't know. That sounds high to me.
It very well could be. But I would expect 15 at the minimum based on what they're saying and based on how this game should go.
They should. I don't think anybody doubts that that's the
direction. Well, but unless they blow him out and they just give 15 carries to Corey Clement again.
Very well could.
Well, it's a national TV game, so, you know, probably will. No timetable for Jameis Winston, but they're, you know, Dirk Cutter said he thinks Winston will be back this year, which probably means he ain't coming back all that soon. D.D. Westbrook expected to play this week at Cleveland for the Jaguars, and now here we go with the do you expects. Do you expect Danny Woodhead at Green Bay?
Yes.
Ty Montgomery, same game.
No.
Drew Stanton.
No.
Philip Rivers. Not sure, right?
Yes.
Yeah? All right, but we're still in the concussion protocol. Jordan Reed. Jordan Reed.
No.
We should really play the Do You Expect game on Thursday.
We play it all the time.
I know. The game on Wednesday, though, is just complete and utter guesses.
Terrence West, Chris Hogan?
No, for both.
Okay. Those are just guesses. All right, Heath, strut your stuff. Time for your tight end research.
Strut my stuff. I don't know why you think I'm going to strut my stuff. Maybe I did a bunch of research and found that you were right, and it is the year of tight end, and I just wanted to share that with you.
Oh, no,
that sounds like me, doesn't it? Over the past 3 years, there have been 9, 10, or 11, in that range, tight ends that have averaged at least 7 fantasy points per game. So basically, you needed to average around 7 fantasy points per game to be a number one tight end.
Mm-hmm.
This season, there are 7 that are averaging 7 fantasy points per game. Actually, make that 6. There are only 7 that are even averaging 6 fantasy points per game. The number 8 tight end in fantasy on a per game basis is Austin Hooper at 5.6 fantasy points per game.
Okay.
Tight end production is way down.
Now, that's sort of different than what I meant. I think what I meant, because it's relative to everything, to everyone, is that there are I don't see teams that are, I can't trade tight ends because everybody's got
one. That's because you don't have any good ones.
No, I have a league with 3 tight ends. I can't trade them because.
Right.
Yeah, but they're good. But the thing
they're all averaging 5 fantasy points a game. That's not good. Like, I agree. I know what you're saying. There's this wide range of 20 tight ends you could start.
Right. Right.
But none of them are actually good.
Well, the fate of the argument I was going to say would come down to 3 players. Now, and Charles Clay might be cooked now. You know, like that's just, he was one of them. Charles Clay, Jared Cook.
Clay was in that group of 7 tight ends averaging 6 fantasy points per game.
Yeah. Well, Charles Clay, Jared Cook, and Hunter Henry are guys that I thought would sort of decide the argument. Because I don't know that we've seen the best from those guys in terms of per game. Because Cook is a late bloomer, and I still believe in Hunter Henry, but he's making me lose faith in him. But I don't know. It just feels like you got Evan. You got your top 4, right? You got Kelsey, Gronk, Ertz, and Graham, and then you've got a Redskins tight end. So maybe Jordan Reed's good going down the stretch. So that's 5, and then Evan Ingram is clearly 6, and then Delanie Walker 3 weeks in a row. He's been really good in PPR. He just can't score. And you've got Safarian Jenkins. I don't know. It just felt like people were picking guys up off the waiver wire, and they were actually useful this year between Safarian Jenkins.
Well, I was just saying the numbers do not match the felt like.
But it feels like people are okay at tight end because they're not losing as much compared to everyone else. You know, you're right, and maybe I said it wrong. Like, tight ends aren't doing better this year than they were in the past. But perhaps there's just not that big of a gap anymore. And nobody's really like dying because their tight end sucks.
It's catcher.
It is. Yeah, right.
There's a bunch of startable tight ends because there's really not any good ones.
Maybe it's more like shortstop though. Because fine. No, it could be. It could be. Yeah. All right. I see your comparison.
There are 3 good tight ends. There are 4 low end number one tight ends, and then there's a bunch of garbage.
Do you feel like there are any leagues that you're in where you're losing because of your tight end? I don't really feel that way, whereas I do feel that way at quarterback.
Yeah, I don't feel like I'm losing because of quarterback either, though.
I feel that way in a couple of leagues.
Okay.
You know, my Aaron Rodgers league, for example, I have Tyrod Taylor.
As Paul Harvey likes to say, now you know the rest of the story.
Okay, great. Now I know the rest of the story. All right, that was good stuff. Jamie, was your entire surprise the Die Hard poem, or did you do parts 1 and 2?
You want more?
No, I don't know. You said part 1 earlier. I allotted time for the rest of it.
I don't know if you wanted me to read more.
That's fine. I think you're yippee-ki-yay.
I did tweet that we have bleeps today, and people are very excited about the bleeps.
Please, just 1 bleep. You don't need to bleep out anything with Indochino. You're going to love everything about Indochino. And you're not going to believe the Indochino Black Friday sale. A made-to-measure custom suit for $329. How do you get it? At Indochino.com, IndoChino.com, and use the code FFT at checkout. That's FFT at checkout on Indochino.com or in a showroom for the most amazing suit you've ever bought, $329. If you forget the code, please feel free to tweet me or email me. You can't compare the fit of an Indochino suit to an off-the-rack suit. It's just not even close. The suits, they're stylish. You're going to look great. You're going to feel great. You're going to feel confident. You're going to love it. So get any Indochino made-to-measure suit from Indochino.com or in a showroom for $329 during Indochino's massive Black Friday sale when you enter FFT at checkout. 60% off the regular price. Shipping's free. Indochino.com, promo code FFT. Any suit for $329 and free shipping. Outstanding deal. Take advantage of it. All right, guys. We usually play The Feud or Name That Player, something like that. Let's do some Fantasy Jeopardy!
Ooh, this is my favorite game.
You really?
Yes, by far.
All right, we have 3 categories. So we'll get some players, and then we will talk about them. We have quarterbacks, running backs, and pass catchers, each of them for $200 and $400, okay?
Clarification on the pass catchers.
Wide receivers and tight ends.
Wide receivers and tight ends?
Yeah, uh-huh.
So Javorius Allen is not a pass catcher.
Wide receivers, tight ends.
Thank you.
Okay, six questions here. 200 and 400 in each category. Who won last time? Do you remember?
Jamie won the feud, but the last time we played Jeopardy, he didn't score, so I think we should let Jamie go first.
Did he score?
I think he got shut out. I think you're right. Jamie, quarterbacks, running backs, pass catchers for $200 or $400.
Let's go quarterbacks for $200.
With only three more touchdown passes than interceptions, he is somehow currently the number three quarterback in fantasy in 6 point per passing touchdown leagues.
Three more touchdowns than interceptions.
You guys are both eligible to guess here.
Right.
Number three quarterback in fantasy, three more touchdown passes than interceptions. Nobody, huh? All right, your time's up. Who is Cam Newton? Cam Newton.
Running. He runs.
He does run. Mm-hmm. And he's
still zeros.
Still zeros. How you feel about Cam Newton, the number three quarterback in fantasy?
I like that he runs. And there are some remarkable numbers out there on Cam Newton without Kelvin Benjamin and Cam Newton with Kelvin Benjamin and how much better he's been without Kelvin Benjamin. And that just continued. So we'll see how long it lasts. You're starting him.
That's a good point, actually. You are starting him. He had this huge game, and he's known for that. I mean, 43 fantasy points. The previous three games was 7, 14, and 19 fantasy points. All right, so Cam Newton's the number three. By the way, he's number three if you use decimal scoring. If you like look at a CBSSports.com league and you don't use decimal scoring, he's tied for fifth.
And you should absolutely use decimal scoring.
Jamie, the board is still yours.
Go pass catchers for 200.
Pass catchers for 200. This is the yards per catch for the NFL's leading receiver in catches. Jarvis Landry. How many yards per catch for the guy who has the most catches in the NFL?
Like, to the decimal point?
I'll let you be within 1 yard.
We both hit. Who got first?
Jamie.
Under five.
First of all, phrase it in the form of a question. You're terrible at that.
What is under 5.0 yards per catch? Yards per catch.
Heath.
What is 6 yards per catch?
You're both wrong again. What is 7.7 yards per catch?
Oh.
For the guy who has the most catches in football.
So we're both at negative 200.
Yeah, you guys are both terrible. Can you freaking believe that? Jarvis Landry, how about this?
We can believe it. We thought he was worse.
He's the number 20 wide receiver in standard and number 6 in PPR. That is a huge, huge difference. He's got 5 touchdowns, though, which ties a career high. But hardly any yards. I mean, 7.7 yards per catch? I've never seen anything like that. What's your reaction to that?
That's kind of who he is, though.
Not that.
To the extreme.
That's amazing. I don't know. Is there trade value for Jarvis Landry, or do you just hold him?
I don't know what you'll get in return for him.
Either you're in a PPR league where he's still very valuable, or you're in a standard league where nobody wants him. So,
is that how you feel about him? That he's very valuable in PPR?
If he's on my team, look. He's been probably better than you expected with the touchdowns.
Yeah. All right. Zero, negative 200 to negative 200. Heath, you can have the board.
It's still Jamie's board.
All right, Jamie, it's your board.
All right, we'll go pass catchers for 400.
Pass catchers for 400. This former first-round pick is the number 3 wide receiver in standard and number 4 in PPR over the last 3 games. Yet for the season, he's outside the top 30.
Former first-round pick.
He's top 5 last 3 games, which includes byes, but he's outside the top 30.
Top 5 in fantasy?
Yeah.
Okay. Over the last 3 games. He's a former number 1 pick in the NFL or fantasy?
Yeah, in the NFL.
In the NFL.
Oh, my God.
5,
4, 3... 2. What? These are that hard? Who is Amari Cooper? He's had two games this year with more than five fantasy points, and he's gotten the targets. He's got 19 targets each of the last 2 weeks, and he's managed 48 yards and 58 yards at Buffalo.
These questions
and at
are
Miami.
So vague.
You did a really bad job with these questions.
I ran them by Dave.
Well, then.
Well, he's not going to be on the show. Of course he liked him.
I mean, a former.
Those guys look stupid.
A former first-round pick. I knew that the Jarvis Landry one would be tough, but a former first-round pick who's outside the top. I don't know. I didn't think that was that bad. All right, fine. What do you think about Amari Cooper? He's got Denver in a couple weeks, but he's got some really good matchups aside from that. But, man, he's just having a bad year. He's just having a terrible year.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep ranking him as a number two wide receiver, knowing that he's never going to finish as a number two. He'll either be a number four or a number one.
Who would you rather have, Amari Cooper or Jarvis Landry?
Cooper.
Cooper standard.
Yeah.
At least you know what you're getting with Landry PPR.
All right, Jamie, the board is yours.
What is the other category? Tight ends?
No, you already got pass catchers. We have running backs for 400, and we have quarterback for 2 and 400.
No, I think we did quarterback, didn't we?
Yes, sorry. We have quarterbacks for 400. We have running. Oh, we have both the running backs.
You are not only a terrible producer of this game, you are a terrible host of this game. Let's go running backs for 200.
Running backs for 200. He is the top 10 running back in standard scoring leagues with the fewest carries and the highest yards per carry among the top 10. Heath.
Who is Chris Thompson?
All right, repeat the question, please.
He is the top 10 running back in standard scoring leagues with the fewest carries and the highest yards per carry among the top 10. Dave got it.
Huh?
Dave got it right, so I don't want to hear it.
No clue.
Who is Alvin Kamara?
Oh.
Good guess, Heath. Chris Thompson's 11th. We did favorite buy low and favorite sell high candidates. I feel like Alvin Kamara would be my favorite sell high candidate.
I almost said him. Yeah, he's a sell high option.
He's good. I mean, his total yards in five games without Adrian Peterson are awesome, as follows: 87, 107, 76, 152, and 138. Plus, you throw on about four or five catches. You got a good player. If we feel like Drew Brees is going to eventually start throwing touchdown passes, is that going to hurt Alvin Kamara? You know, he'll be a number two. I don't know that he's going to be a number one running back or top eight.
He's currently a number two.
He's also a Mark Ingram injury away from being a top three running back.
Well, I don't want to base all my trade values on injuries.
No, but, I mean, you're getting great production now with the potential of, you know, I mean, Ingram prior to last year has missed time, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but we did call Chris Thompson a sell high, and it turned out to be a really good call.
Yes, but he doesn't get, I mean, Kamara still gets more carries than Chris Thompson.
Kamara, yeah, he gets about 10 a game.
And he's in a much better offense.
Yeah. And he's in a great running offense. All right, so 0-0. Jamie, the board is still yours.
All right, running backs for 400.
The daily double. How much of your negative 200 or 400 do you want to wager?
You can't wager the daily double.
Okay.
A billion.
All right, so Jamie, for $400, since it's the daily double, you get exclusive rights here.
Okay.
Averaging just 3.8 yards per carry, this top 10 running back has 40 receptions, but is still looking for his first receiving touchdown of the season. Averaging just 3.8 yards per carry. Mm-hmm. This top 10 running back has 40 receptions, but still looking for his first receiving touchdown of the season.
Do I get a chance to steal this one?
Yeah, of course.
But I have to wait for him to guess?
Uh-huh.
No idea.
Okay, incorrect. Heath?
Okay. I'll go with LeSean McCoy.
Okay, I think you mean
who is LeSean McCoy?
Yeah, you are incorrect. The answer is, who is Le'Veon Bell? How about that? Did you know he was averaging 3.8 yards per carry?
Yes.
Well, I didn't. I just thought that was fun. He is on pace. Le'Veon Bell is on pace for 391 regular season carries, which would be 10th all time. I will give you guys 800 points if you can tell me who holds the single season record for carries in a season.
Is LeSean McCoy not a top 10 running back?
Does he have 40 catches?
He has 41 no receiving touchdowns, and he's averaging 3.8 yards per
carry. Okay, well, he and Le'Veon Bell have almost
the
same.
So I should get points for that.
If I said 40 catches,
you gave us
41.
A question with two correct answers.
No,
I
said
one of them.
40 catches, did not say 41.
He has 40 catches.
You said 41.
He's not a top 10 running back.
Oh, take that, Heath Cummings.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
What is the next part of the Die Hard Christmas story for 400? Oh, no. I have it. When out in the lobby there arose such a clatter, he sprung to the door to see what was the matter.
Yeah?
When what to his wondering eyes should appear, holy crap, there are terrorists here. John hid under a table where no one could see and watched Hans question Mr. Takagi.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to count to three. There will not be a four. Give me the codes to open the vault door. I don't know the codes, so go ahead and shoot. Okay, said Hans Gruber, and ruined Takagi's suit.
Oh, my God.
So much better
what
than
a kid's
the Jeopardy
book.
Game.
What a great children's book. All right, listen, we got one more left. And by the way, the all-time leader in carries in a single season is Larry Johnson with 416 in 2006. We've got quarterbacks for 400, right? Okay. Currently, fourth in the NFL in both pass attempts and passing yards, this quarterback married a cheerleader for his college football team and is the number 9 quarterback in fantasy this season.
Fourth in pass attempts and passing yards?
Uh-huh. Jamie.
Matthew Stafford.
Incorrect. Heath.
And can you please reread the question?
Sure. He's currently fourth in the NFL in both pass attempts and passing yards. This quarterback married a cheerleader for his college football team and is the number 9 quarterback in fantasy this season.
Who is Kirk Cousins?
Incorrect. Who is Matthew Stafford? Who is Matthew Stafford? Sorry, Jamie, you're going to have to respect the Jeopardy rules. I cannot allow you to not state it in the form of a question.
You know who you should say sorry to?
Who?
Everyone has listened to this for the last 10 minutes.
I'm really disappointed. 0-6. No, Jamie got that right. But you don't get points. Matthew Stafford, people have brought up his playoffs, his rest of season schedule. He's throwing a lot. He's got the fourth most passing yards. He should have more touchdowns. It just hasn't been there. But playing really well lately. So he's got the Bears. They allow the 6th fewest fantasy points. The Vikings, they allow the 9th. At the Ravens, they allow the 2nd fewest. At Tampa Bay, that's good. The Bears again at the Bengals, 10th fewest fantasy points, and then week 17 is Green Bay. Give me your thoughts on Matthew Stafford rest of season, on who is Matthew Stafford.
He's the number 1 fantasy quarterback.
Yep.
Stafford or Cam?
You know, he married a cheerleader from his college.
He did.
I did not know that.
Stafford or Cam? What do you think about the schedule? It's got to matter.
Stafford in 6 point per pass touchdown leagues, Cam in 4.
Yeah, I'll take Cam in either just because the floor for Cam, now that he's running like he is, gives him such a nice base to start with.
All right. All right, well, that was Fantasy Jeopardy, perhaps never to be played again. Let's preview Tennessee at Pittsburgh. And your stat of the game. Listen up, Juju Smith-Schuster owners.
What is Juju Smith-Schuster?
He's a number 2, looks like number 1.
Oh, I thought you were still playing Jeopardy.
Oh. All right, stat of the game. Multiple wide receivers have scored 7 or more fantasy points in standard scoring leagues in the same game against Tennessee 6 times in 9 games. That would be Oakland, Jacksonville, Seattle, Houston, Baltimore, and Cincinnati. I mean, you've had some real garbage there doing very well. So multiple wide receivers have scored 7 or more fantasy points in standard in the same game 6 times in 9 games against Tennessee. And 14 wide receivers have had 7 or more targets against the Titans this year. 12 of them, 12 out of 14, have either had 76 yards or caught a touchdown. In other words, if Juju Smith-Schuster gets 7 targets, which is what he's done each of the last 2 weeks, he's had 17 total targets, he should have a good game. So, yeah, starter sit Juju Smith-Schuster.
I've got him right around that 7-point mark, which means you're probably starting him, but I'm not forcing him into my lineup over... Like, if you have him on your roster, there's a good chance he was your 4th or 5th wide receiver, so I'm not forcing him into my lineup over a lot of guys that I've been starting all year, but he's a borderline number two.
Are you going to start Juju Smith-Schuster over, let's say, Keenan Allen or Amari Cooper?
I am not.
Not this week.
Okay. What about over Dez Bryant?
Yes.
I started to. I had Dez ranked pretty low, and I know we're going to talk more about that game later, but if you get 10 targets against the Eagles, you have been really good this year.
I'll just put the asterisk on it. If Tyron Smith plays, then I would take Dez Bryant. If Tyron Smith is out, I don't want any part of Dez Bryant if I could avoid.
Yeah, now we probably won't know that by Thursday.
Can I give you real quick the wide receivers that have had 10 targets against Philadelphia?
Just keep in mind, Ronald Darby's going to play it this week, but yes.
Demaryius, 870 and a touchdown. Kelvin Benjamin, 9 for 99. Keenan Allen, 5 for 138. Tyrell Williams, 5 for 115 and a touchdown. Sterling Shepard, 7 for 133 and a touchdown. Odell Beckham, 9 for 79 and 2 touchdowns. Mm. And then Terrell Pryor and Larry Fitzgerald sucked.
Okay. All right, so that's Juju. The Steelers are easy in terms of Roethlisberger and Brown starting them. What about Ben Roethlisberger? Which quarterback do you like better in this game, guys?
Ben easily.
Ben.
All right, Roethlisberger, no more than 21 fantasy points in a game this season, which is exactly what he scored at Indianapolis last week. Will Ben Roethlisberger get you 22 or more fantasy points in 6 point per passing touchdown leagues?
No.
No?
Yes.
Well, you say no. Well, Heath's got him 12th. Jamie and Dave have Roethlisberger 9th. So I think it's interesting, Heath, that you have Cousins ranked one spot ahead of Ben.
Yes, I do.
Talk about that, sir.
Ben has not done it this year. He's not been good. He just had a very good matchup, and I said all of last week, this is when things are supposed to turn for Ben Roethlisberger. And he was fine. He was a borderline number one. I don't know that there's a lot of hope for him to have the big bust out.
Okay. Tennessee has held 5 straight quarterbacks to 18 or fewer fantasy points. That's Cutler, Brissett, the Cleveland guys, Flacco, and Dalton. So it's, you know, it is what it is. Flacco scored 18 fantasy points on 52 pass attempts. Dalton scored 18 on 35 pass attempts. They've gotten a little better, but they've faced some lousy competition. Roethlisberger or Eli Manning this week?
Roethlisberger.
Ben.
Roethlisberger or Jared Goff?
Goff.
Roethlisberger.
All right, so that's kind of the difference in the rankings. Those three spots, Jamie 9th, Heath 12th, would be Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff. Jamie's got them behind Roethlisberger. Heath has Goff and Cousins ahead of Roethlisberger.
And Bortles.
And Bortles, yeah. Bortles. Well, that's it. That's bold. Bortles over Ben. Wow.
Fantastic matchup.
Yeah.
Not and a fantastic quarterback, though.
He's not a fantastic quarterback, but he's been in the 17-18 range each of his last three games.
Yep. He's at Cleveland this week. All right. So we go to Tennessee. Mariota, start or sit?
Nope.
Yeah, you got to sit him.
Hmm. Pittsburgh, I mean, it's kind of sneaky, though, because Pittsburgh, no Joe Hayden. Mike Mitchell's going to be questionable. He's been really banged up. He's had an Achilles issue. Now he's got an ankle injury. Like, I'm going to guess he doesn't play, and if he plays, he clearly won't be 100%. That's two-fourths of their starting secondary. Does that doesn't – I mean, you guys have Mariota really low, like 19th or something. You know,
I don't know that this is a really high-scoring game. I feel like this is the last game where you sit Mariota, and then he just explodes.
Okay, so you'd start like Cutler and Bortles over him?
Yep.
Yes.
Wow. And Fitzpatrick, and Eli, and Keenum.
Tennessee running backs, go.
You got to continue to go with Murray until he's out.
And sit Henry?
This just doesn't feel like a game where they're going to be ahead in the fourth quarter where you see typically where Derrick Henry's at his best performances.
Yeah, I view Murray as a number two and Henry as a boom-bust flex.
Doug Martin or DeMarco Murray?
Murray.
Doug Martin for me. Martin's our start of the week this week.
Ooh.
Very excited about his matchup.
Yeah, he's got the Dolphins. They are terrible. So Murray or Arlen's Darkwa?
Murray.
Darkwa.
Wow. All right, they're all in the same kind of range, like 15th-ish. Murray's an okay start. We're going to try to avoid Derrick Henry. And then what do you think about the wide receivers for Tennessee?
No, thank you.
Yeah, not this week.
All right.
Davis and Matthews are number three guys.
It's just interesting because if you're basing it on Pittsburgh in the past, like they've been pretty bad. Late, the last two games, they've really had lapses. They're giving up some huge plays. Marvin Jones, Golden Tate, TJ Jones, all over 80 yards. Chester Rogers, Dante Moncrief, big plays. T.Y. Hilton did nothing, of course.
Those games were both on the road, too, right?
Yes, yes.
And the night game at home, I just...
But it's yeah. It's the injuries, too. All right.
That's part of it.
All right. I understand you're hesitant on the passing game. And Delanie Walker... Delanie Walker is 9th for Jamie in standard, 11th for Dave and Heath. In PPR, he's 8th for Jamie, 9th for Dave, and 12th for Heath. And he's been really good in PPR the last three games. 5 to 7 catches, 63 to 71 yards. So you're talking about 12 fantasy points on 10, 5, and 9 targets in PPR. No receiving touchdowns this year, doesn't get red zone targets, so not nearly as good in standard. All right. Should we do some Delanie Walker ors, I guess?
Delanie sure.
Delanie Walker or, oh, I hate this, Vernon Davis.
As long as Reed sits, Davis.
Davis.
Yeah, you might have to play that one safe. But Delanie Walker or Jared Cook?
Cook.
Jason Witten.
Witten.
Davis. Walker.
Travis Kelce at the Giants or Delanie Walker?
What?
No, I'm just kidding. Travis Kelce or Rob Gronkowski this week?
I'm still going Gronk.
Kelce for me.
Yeah, I mean, you cannot. Travis Kelce. I hope I'm not playing Travis Kelce this week. That's all I have to say. Watch this be the. This would be such a bizarro year in fantasy football. This would be the week that Travis Kelce gets shut out. All right, we've got some schedule talk. We've got some emails. We'll get to that in a second. Let's look at the number twos who look like number one this year. And I've got Adam Thielen, Marvin Jones, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Robert Woods. I know this is an easy answer, but to start, of the number two who looks like number one, who do you have the most faith in going forward? Thielen, Marvin Jones, Juju, and Robert Woods.
Thielen.
I got a Thielen.
Yeah. He does have a look, four of his next five opponents rank in the top 10 in fantasy points allowed to wide receivers. Does that matter for you with Thielen? It's the Rams, Lions, Falcons, Panthers, Bengals. The Falcons are the good matchup there.
I think they're mostly you attack almost all of those defenses better from the slot position.
So it doesn't matter.
Doesn't bother me.
Okay. Of those four, Thielen, Jones, Smith-Schuster, and Woods, who do you have the least confidence in?
Jones.
Yeah, I know Smith-Schuster I would have the second most confidence in. Woods and Jones, I kind of feel pretty similarly about.
Which is what?
I think they're probably better served as number three wide receivers.
I'm so disappointed with Marvin Jones last week. I just don't get it.
What we shouldn't have got was what he did the couple weeks before.
No, I don't agree. I think he was emerging as the number one receiver on Detroit. He had three straight games with double-digit targets, three straight games with 12 or more fantasy points in standard. He was great, and he didn't even do it against tough matchups. It was at New Orleans, Pittsburgh, or against easy matchups. At New Orleans and Pittsburgh, they ranked well against wide receivers, and at Green Bay was a great matchup. So, this week it's tough at Chicago, and then Minnesota, and then Apple. It's very tough, actually, the next three or four weeks. I don't know. I was just disappointed. I couldn't believe it. You know, Kenny Golladay, it's not like Kenny Golladay got a ton of targets. He had three targets. He came back. So that wasn't the reason for it. Yeah.
Well, what was Golden Tate's health situation like during that three-game stretch where Marvin Jones was awesome?
He was fine. He was
fully healthy for one of them, right?
I don't know, but he was still playing and very involved. He himself had three good games.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then Woods, here's the one thing I wanted to point out from Woods. So he's got these four touchdowns in his last two games, and his only four touchdowns of the season. And he had great matchups at the Giants and home against Houston, so he took advantage of it. But Woods does lead the team in targets, and two of the four touchdowns were like really long and fluky, and two of the four were from 4 yards out and 12 yards out, and that's a good sign. So just want to point that out. Not that I, of course, don't disagree that Woods and the Rams are sell highs after those two matchups, but it's nice that he's getting targeted in the red zone and inside the 12. Yeah, hooray for him. You want to do Jeopardy again or what? No, let's talk schedules. So people have been asking to look at playoff schedules, weeks 14 through 16. We did this last week. I encourage you to go back and listen to it. I'll sum up some of what we talked about. But I did want to bring this up. Potential free agents in weeks 14 through 16, and I think the Russell Wilson owner needs to pay attention to this because he has tough matchups, and I think the Kirk Cousins owner has to pay attention to this. But Jay Cutler, I won't go through week by week, Jay Cutler, Drew Stanton, and Blake Bortles. Would you trust them in your fantasy playoffs? Cutler has the Patriots, the Bills on the road, and the Chiefs on the road in weeks 14 through 16. Stanton has Tennessee at Washington and the Giants. Bortles has Houston and at San Francisco.
Is Seattle a tough matchup anymore?
It's probably too tough for Bortles. But
we're going to find out this week, yeah.
Well, not necessarily, because they may not have Cam Chancellor this week. They'll have Earl Thomas, but they may not have Chancellor. But if they have both safeties, you know, they're probably not a good matchup. But
is Thomas definitely playing?
That's what I read this morning. He's expected to play.
Okay.
But anyway, that's 9 matchups there, and at least 8 of them are good. Cutler, Stanton, and Bortles. I don't know. You got Russell Wilson with tough matchups. You got Kirk Cousins with tough matchups. You got Matthew Stafford. Do you think it makes sense for those owners to pick up another quarterback, one of those kind of scrubs?
I think these are all kind of different levels. So I'll start off with, I work too damn hard to get to the fantasy playoffs. Trust my fate to Drew Stanton.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's no chance on Stanton.
Okay.
No, I don't want to.
Because he may not even be the quarterback. Then.
Right. No.
Bad.
Yeah. Russell Wilson is probably not somebody I'm sitting. So none of these guys over Russell Wilson for me.
Okay.
Cousins and Cutler, I think, is the interesting pairing. If you have Kirk Cousins, Cutler's team is not just facing good matchups, but they also have a terrible defense, and they're facing really good offenses, so they're going to be way behind, and he's shown us. He's done a pretty good Blake Bortles impersonation this year.
Yeah, look, he's got multiple touchdown passes in 4 straight games, I believe, Jay Cutler. He scored 18 at Carolina, which really isn't bad, and they don't run the ball well.
I want to see his fourth quarter QB ratings. I bet it is amazing.
Right, and I'm banking on that, you know?
But that's my issue with Cutler this week, is I just don't know if he gets the garbage time.
Against Tampa Bay. Yeah. But they're so bad. Their pass defense is so bad.
But they're facing Ryan Fitzpatrick.
No, I mean the Buccaneers.
Yeah, I think the Cutler-Cousins combo could make sense.
The one thing I want to caution here with some of this looking at schedules is that the Patriots have gotten a lot better. And I wonder how you guys feel about the Patriots as a matchup now. That's one of Cutler's 3 matchups. Do you still feel like that's a favorable matchup for quarterbacks?
I do. If they shut down Derek Carr and the Raiders this week, then I'll change my mind.
That game is in Mexico, in Mexico City.
So it won't be cold.
Good, high altitude, could be a lot of scoring. It won't be cold, yeah. All right, so look, that's a little nugget for you. And Tyrod Taylor was another guy that had great matchups. So if you're the Tyrod Taylor owner, maybe you're desperate, pick up Jay Cutler or something like that. And also keep an eye, if Derek Carr gets dropped, it's not out of the question. I saw him in one of our leagues just a couple weeks ago. If Derek Carr gets dropped, he has good matchups in the fantasy playoffs. He has at Kansas City, home against Dallas, and then at Philadelphia. You probably won't start him there. But weeks 14 and 15, really good for Derek Carr. Yeah, and there you go. And Nate Peterman has the Colts, Dolphins, and Patriots. So, good luck. Let me recap a little bit of what we talked about last week. Quarterbacks with good schedules. Ben Roethlisberger's got a really nice schedule going forward. Phillip Rivers has the great schedule beginning this week. I mean, it's really, really good for Rivers. Check this out. Buffalo, at Dallas, Cleveland, Washington, at Kansas City, at the Jets, Oakland in week 17. That's incredible for Rivers. So there's still time to get. I mean, now is the time to get Phillip Rivers. Dak Prescott has a good schedule coming up. Marcus Mariota after this week, at Indianapolis, Houston, at Arizona, at San Francisco, the Rams. That's an interesting one. It's a home game. That's week 16. Jacksonville, week 17. I have to worry about that. Carson Wentz has a pretty good schedule. Well, it's what? Who cares? It's Carson Wentz. This is a great time to trade for LeSean McCoy. Great time. At the Chargers, at the Chiefs, Patriots, Colts, Dolphins, at the Patriots, and then at Miami in week 17. And last week, Heath, we talked about Adrian Peterson and Marshawn Lynch. You said, get what you can for them right now. And that was before his terrible game against Seattle, Adrian Peterson. Take a look at their schedule. For Peterson, it's at Houston, Jacksonville, Rams, Titans, at the Redskins, Giants in week 16 at Seattle. You still feel that way about Peterson?
Well, I think now, like, you're not going to get much for Peterson. What you're hoping is the fresh legs thing. He's had 10 days to regenerate his cells and he gets to go against the Texans. You're hoping he has one good game and then you can trade him. You can't get anything for Adrian Peterson right now.
Okay. And then Marshawn Lynch has the Patriots in Mexico, the Broncos, the Giants at home, at Kansas City, Dallas, at Philadelphia.
You're just hoping with Marshawn Lynch that Michael Crabtree, Amari Cooper, Jared Cook fall down inside the five so yeah. that he gets a touchdown.
Where does he rank right now?
For me this week?
No. Where's his standing among fantasy running backs?
He's got to be top 25, doesn't he?
Oh, I don't know about that. I'm going to say no. I'll look at standard. I mean, he definitely isn't in PPR. I will look now. Should I use weekly scoring or total scoring?
You should use total scoring.
Total scoring. All right. While I do that, why don't we read some emails and tweets? This one is from Justin. What is Devin Funchess's value going forward with Greg Olsen set to return?
I still think he's a solid number two.
Yep.
32.
I've got him at 34, but okay.
You have the decimal scoring or you have the non-decimal?
1 point ahead of Mike Gillisley.
I have him tied with Mike Gillisley, so you have decimal. So, yeah, he's outside the top 30 in standard, Marshawn Lynch. Go ahead.
Yeah, what a group there. Marshawn Lynch, Mike Gillisley, Matt Forte, Adrian Peterson. Hey. Exciting.
Who's your favorite? Who's your favorite?
Rest of season?
Uh-huh.
I'll go with Marshawn.
Even in PPR, or would you take Forte?
I don't know if Forte is going to play again.
Is that serious for Forte?
Yeah, who knows? You know him better than we do.
Yeah. Forte said he hopes to return after the bye. So do I. So you said Devin Funchess is at number two. Would you rather have Funchess or Jarvis Landry rest of season?
Funchess.
Heath?
Yeah.
Funchess?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
P.S. Heath and Jamie were wrong. Zeke returned 2 weeks ago, but Jamie made the comment when reflecting back to the week prior while talking about whether your lack of bonanza required a Bean Boozle. So, there you go. I'm off the hook. Jeremy from a city.
You make rules that fit you. It's okay. Yep.
Jeremy from a city south of Vancouver.
Fort Lauderdale
and Seattle both qualify. I think we just answered this. Sorry, Jeremy. So, should we be concerned about Russell Wilson's playoff schedule at the Jaguars, home against the Rams, at Dallas? Look, I don't think we're starting him week 14 at Jacksonville.
Who?
Russell Wilson.
Is Jacksonville 100% the same by that point?
Why wouldn't they? I can't answer these questions. Like, I can't project injuries, but.
Well, I mean, you know, why are we making start sit decisions 3 weeks out?
Well, I think you have to. I think you have to, as a Russell Wilson owner, be prepared to sit him in week 14.
Yes. You should have a potential backup option. You don't need to necessarily say, I'm sitting Russell Wilson yet.
He'll probably be in the top 12, but I don't think he'll be in the top 5 that week.
I'm starting him.
I have something for you.
Okay. More poetry.
Ellis told Hans, Bubby, I'm your white knight. Hans shot him dead, giving the hostages a fright. Hans went to go check on the explosives fuse and saw that poor John wasn't wearing any shoes. John fled from Carl and Hans, but alas, he had to run barefoot over sharp, broken glass. His feet, how they hurt. His soles, oh so bloody. John crawled to the bathroom and called his good buddy.
Oh, that's good. Is there a fantasy team name, any fantasy relevant player that would work with Shoot the Glass? I've always wanted to name a team Shoot the Glass, but there's nothing.
Shoot the Glass?
Yeah, it's the best line in Die Hard.
Well, I think you could use it in on a basketball team.
Shoot the Glass, yeah, but I need like a name, like a player. Like Hoots or yeah, I don't know. We'll work on it. This is from Matthew. What is your bench strategy after bye weeks?
I have good players.
yeah, when I'm upside.
Well, does it change? You know, once you're done with buys, you don't roster a
I tell you what, I had somebody come to me and ask me a question that kind of fits in with this. And they said, do you ever use a bench spot to block your opponent?
Yeah.
And my answer is, I absolutely do, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. I actually picked up Greg Olsen yesterday in a league in which I have Jimmy Graham. I don't know what I'm going to do.
But that's not a bad move.
No. I'm going to try to trade him. But if I can't, like, even if I'm not going to start them both, there's no way I'm dropping Greg Olsen or Jimmy Graham, because you don't want to have to compete against them.
If we had deeper benches in our FFT league, waivers ran and nobody picked up Justin Tucker.
Yeah.
And I have Greg Zuerlein. And I was like, I'll pick up two kickers, but we don't have enough spots.
We got a question from Nick. Do I start the Eagles defense against the Cowboys, or do I go with the Lions defense this week at Chicago? Eagles or Lions?
Lions.
The Lions, but the Eagles probably have a higher ceiling if Tyron Smith is out.
Jeremy in Australia. The nervous Hunter Henry owner, not going to stream this week because pickings are slim, but should I drop, or should I pick up Jack Doyle, who's been dropped? And if I should, then who would I drop for Jack Doyle? Davante Adams, CJ Anderson, Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, or I suppose you could drop Hunter Henry.
Well, no, you need a tight end this week. Jack Doyle's on a
bye. Oh, right. Yeah.
You could drop CJ Anderson.
I saw that Adam dropped his boy C.J. Anderson in a league.
Who did I drop him for? Deion Lewis?
Deion Lewis, I believe, yes.
I looked at that I looked at that for like a good 30 seconds. Do I do it? I had it up there. Do I hit submit? And I did, because he gets 10 carries a game.
They're the same player.
Yeah, they kind of are.
Yeah, one's in a much better offense. I guess I'll just go with the guy in the better offense. This is from Rob. Do you think it is... Oh, we'll end on this. Well, we got maybe two more, but maybe we'll end on this. We'll see. Do you think it's okay to lose intentionally to a specific team or two to dictate who makes the playoffs? I'm currently the number one seed, highest scoring team in the league, and basically he can throw a game to influence his playoff matchups and face weaker teams. Do you think that's okay?
I mean, that always feels like it comes back to bite the person that does it.
Yeah, yeah. But do you think it's okay? Because I struggle with this. I say no. I say don't do it, but... You're right. I don't know.
It's not collusion.
No, because you're doing it to yourself.
I don't think it's something that should be punished or forbidden. I also don't know if it's a very smart.
Well, I think it's smart. I think you look at teams and you say this one's better than the other. And it happens in professional sports to a degree. I mean, teams...
Oh yeah,
do
for sure.
Intentionally lose. I don't know if they do it for seeding purposes of other teams, but they rest guys in week 17. Whatever. Like, I don't know. I would never personally do it myself, but I guess I wouldn't. If I were the commissioner, I wouldn't sanction anyone for it.
In the words of the very great opposing coach in Teen Wolf, I've got records to think about.
Okay. This is from Andrew. Dear Sam, Aaron, Carson, and Deshaun.
Injured quarterbacks.
Oh, okay. I know you always talk about not letting your opponent's lineup influence how you set yours, but my opponent has Antonio Brown. So do I go with Big Ben or Cousins this week?
I'm going with Cousins.
Yeah, I'll go with Ben. Just better matchup for him.
The Antonio Brown thing doesn't really matter, right?
No.
Nope.
All right, that's it for fantasy football today. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll come back tomorrow and preview the AFC home games for you and talk about DSTs that you might want for your fantasy playoffs if you're interested in rostering two DSTs. That's it. That's tomorrow, and that's it for today. Anybody get that reference? Talk to you later. See ya.
At Nakatomi Tower, Sergeant Powell appeared. He checked the whole lobby and saw nothing weird. He was pulling away but didn't get far before Marco landed on the hood of his car. Powell drove away backwards, screaming in fright. "Welcome to the party, pal," John yelled with delight.